Well, I trust everyone had a wonderful Christmas. I know we did. I got a Bubba knife for Christmas. And you know, you might be a redneck if you get a Bubba knife. And I got my wife a blow dryer. And hey, man, I'll tell you what, if this thing had wheels, you could drive it. I mean, it does everything. So anyway, we had a great Christmas, good time with the family and all. And by the way, thank you. It shouldn't be a by the way. We were just so humbled by your generous gift. And I know I speak for the Beamans as well. We were just blown away. Thank you for your expression of love and kindness. And we love you and we thank you for the love that we share. But the ministry that we share, that we're in this together, right? As we look ahead to a new year, there are some uncertainties. We live in uncertain times. You just never know what a day might bring forth, as the scripture says. And, you know, we've been dealing with inflation and prices going up. And then we are anticipating a new president. Well, actually, an old one, but new, and he's back. and there's a lot of hope, you know, that he's going to help things and make things right. And, you know, somebody, I heard the statement says, our new president is going to save America. I'm like, oh, you know. You know, again, I'm looking forward to good things, but, you know, I don't know. And as I mentioned, the scripture tells us that we don't know what a day might bring forth. So these are uncertain times, and there's a sense in which all life is uncertain. James 4:14 says, you don't know what tomorrow may bring, for what is your life? It is but a vapor that appears for a little time, and then it just vanishes away. So there's that sense in which we just don't know what's going to happen in this next year. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, let alone in the next year, right? But here's your take-home thought this morning, and that is God desires you to thrive during times of uncertainty. I thought of this too late. I could have had a real snappy title to this, Thrive in 2025, you know. So I'm sure somebody will pick up on that. But anyway, God desires you to thrive through uncertain times. As you look ahead to a new year, we don't know what might happen, but God desires you to thrive during uncertain times. He doesn't want us as believers to wring our hands and, oh, no, I don't know what's going to happen. Oh, and just kind of cloister ourselves, and we just have our four walls here, and we just come and we just, you know, just try to get through it. No, you know, we're to thrive during these uncertain times, and I think during these times we can be tremendous testimonies of hope. That we're looking ahead for great things in our lives and great things in happening in the lives of those around us and the world around us, even though there are trials and difficulties. So keep your eyes open to those opportunities to be a witness and a testimony in the midst of difficulties. So here we're going to look at some principles to thrive this morning, some principles to thrive in uncertainties. And again, if you struggle with this, hopefully this will encourage you. But on the other hand, as you look ahead, you may be able to pass this on to others to be an encouragement to them. The first one is to recognize that there are certainties in uncertain times. There are some certainties in uncertain times. You can count on it. First of all, God. You can depend upon God. We just sang a song, through it all. Through it all, we depend upon Him. You can depend upon God during any times of uncertainty. Why? Because He's sovereign. We believe that God is in control. It wasn't like he just got things started, and he's just like, oh, that's not really the way I wanted it to go, so I don't know what I'm going to do. And, well, maybe I'll send Jesus, and maybe he can kind of set things in order, and, well, I hope people turn to him. No. God is sovereign. He has a plan. He's in control, and he's working that plan to, from our perspective, we look at it and we're like, oh, you know. But as God looks down, he's in total and complete control. You can be sure of that. That is a certainty in uncertain times. When we think about God, you also think and should remember that he is always good. God is good all the time. And when you go through those difficulties, sometimes it's like, oh, God, what are you doing? And if you don't guard your heart, you can become embittered against God. And there are people who become angry with God. But I want to assure you that God is good all the time. Go back to his sovereignty. He is, through his goodness, working his sovereign grace in every situation in your life. And I encourage you to be thankful that he's at work in and through those difficulties, whatever it may be. He's loving. He is loving all the time. Even in judgment, he is loving. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that if you believe in him, you would not perish but have everlasting life. He's loving. He didn't just, when sin came into the world and death by sin and death passed upon all world, for that all have sinned, he provided a way of salvation through Jesus Christ. God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Isn't that awesome? And it's in his sovereign plan to do that, to provide that salvation for those who would but believe. And when you do that, remember, he is your rock. He is your rock, which indicates stability. Here's a passage, Psalm 18, verses 1 to 4. Psalm 18, verses 1 to 4. The psalmist says, I love you, O Lord, my strength. This would be a great prayer when you're going through difficulties. I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God, my rock in whom I take refuge. My shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call to the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. Even when the enemies come against you, you cry out to God. He's your rock. He is a certainty in uncertain times. You can turn to him in prayer at any moment, at any time. I think of Peter. When the disciples saw Peter walking on the water, they thought he was a ghost. You know, and Peter's like, hey, call to me and let me come out and walk with you. So Peter, Jesus invites him to come and walk on the water with him. He steps out into the waves, and Peter starts walking on the water. He takes his eyes off of Jesus, and he starts to sink. And he cries out, Lord, save me! Lord, save me. Charles Spurgeon says that short prayers are long enough. Short prayers are long enough, and the Lord saved him, of course. It was a simple prayer based on the fact of who Jesus was, Lord, and what he could do in saving him. I just want to encourage you today, if you are not certain of your salvation through Jesus Christ, to cry out to God, to realize that you are a sinner, and you need his salvation. And he is the one who could save, because he came as a baby, lived the perfect life. He was the fulfillment of the law. And he came to die on the cross, was buried, and rose again to provide that salvation, if you would believe that he did that for you. Lord, save me. Believing these truths, are you willing to respond to him today in his great salvation? He is a certainty in times of uncertainty. And it is through him by which you can thrive. Here's another certainty and uncertainty, and that is God's word. God's word. Man's opinions, man's ideas, the way we ought to do things, they just change. All you have to do, again, is go back to the elections, right? You have some who think this is one way we should do it, and we saw what happens when you have that way of doing things, and then you have others who have another way of doing things, and we're going to see what that might look like. And there's opinions. Should we do this or shouldn't we? Should we do that? There's all kinds of opinions, and man's opinions change. Man's opinions change with where you live. Man's opinions tend to change with the weather or weather-related events. All kinds of opinions out there. But God's word never changes. Matthew 24, 35, Jesus says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. He reiterates that from Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 8. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 23 to 25, Peter's writing and he says, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God, for all flesh is like the grass, and all its glory like the flowers of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. It's a certainty in uncertain times. So I encourage you, as I did last week, as you launch into a new year, spend time. Make a commitment, even now, to spend time in the Word of God. Faithfully, regularly, if not daily. Read the Word. Study the Word. Listen to the Word. Memorize the Word. Meditate upon the Word. And then apply the Word to your life. Live it out. The Word of God is a certainty in uncertain times. Here's another certainty, and that is his church. Now you might say, now wait a minute, churches come and go. And yet Jesus, in talking with Peter, Peter asked his disciples, you know, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to Peter, Peter, I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. Now, it was a play on words because the name Peter means little rock. But when Jesus says on this rock, he's talking about a bedrock. What was he talking about? He was talking about the profession that Peter made. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He didn't build his church on Peter. He built his church on the profession, the rock, the solid rock of the profession that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. And on that rock, he would build his church. And he says, the gates of hell would not prevail against it. That, my friend, is certainty in uncertain times. You look at, like I said, local churches tend to come and go. We look at FBC. 190 years. Isn't that, we were established in 1834. We've seen a lot of churches in Troy come and go. And frankly, FBC could come and someday go. We don't know. It's our prayer that it will continue, right? But the fact of the matter is, the church universal will remain because it must be established on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that gives this church impetus to continue on. We must always be built upon the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ and who he is and his word. Let us never stray from the gospel. Never stray from the gospel. All kinds of churches out there doing all kinds of fancy things. And I'm not saying that the church shouldn't change and we shouldn't try to do what we can do to reach people, but it must always stand on truth. And may we be faithful to that end. That is the rock of the church, built upon the Lord Jesus Christ. So I encourage you to be faithful. When you join this church, you're not joining a fly-by-night organization or institution. You are becoming a member of that which is established on that which will last forever. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did. And our prayer is that we will perpetuate that message and that ministry for years to come. So when you join, become a part of this, I encourage you to be faithful. Faithful to the church by your attendance, of course. Be faithful to attend church faithfully, regularly. Thank you that you're here today. Be faithful in serving through the church. Find a way to serve. Get involved in the ministry of the church. It is worth your time and effort. Be faithful in your giving. You're just so blessed. You look at your worship folder and we're over 100%. Thank you. Praise God. And because of that, we're going to continue to be able to continue in ministry, and we're going to be able to do certain projects that have just been put off down the road. But we're going to be able to continue in this ministry and ministry faithfully. So thank you. The church is another matter that is a certainty in uncertain times. Well, here's another principle. The first one is, there are certainties in uncertain times. Be assured of that. Another principle to thrive in uncertain times is obedience. Obedience to God and his word. That provides certainty. Several years ago, I was hunting with a hunting buddy. And we were turkey hunting. And it wasn't Pastor Nate. This was pre-Pastor Nate. So I don't want you to think, anyway, the first part of the turkey season, you have to be done by noon. I was hunting down at Zaleski State Forest, and turkey hunting, you can hunt together, especially if one guy doesn't know what he's doing and all, but we knew what we were doing, and so we went our separate ways. We said, we'll meet back at the truck at noon. So I get back to the truck. Noon, 10 after, quarter after, 12:30. Where is he? Where's my hunting buddy? No hunting buddy. 1 o'clock, I thought, something's not right. So I thought, I started hollering, hey! Hey, are you out there? Nothing. I thought, I got an idea. I started driving my truck up and down the road. He comes out of the woods. Oh, thanks, man. He lost his direction. He didn't know. He said, I found an arrow in the woods. And he said he stuck it down into the ground. And he said, I don't know how many times I passed that arrow trying to find my way out. When you lose direction, you gain uncertainty, right? When you gain direction, you gain certainty. When the horn started to honk, then he knew what direction to go. And he was very thankful for that. Uncertainty comes from lack of direction. To gain direction, here's an encouragement for you. To gain direction, walk as Jesus did. In order to gain direction, for 2025, in order to thrive in 25, walk as Jesus did. Brett and his classmates have been talking. Every once in a while, WWJD comes up. That's one of those things that just kind of ran its course, so to speak. But Brett encouraged us, hey, really think about it. It's really not a bad thought. What would Jesus do? And I would encourage you to think about, possibly, maybe you haven't settled on a study for 2025, right? Some of you maybe have committed to go through the Bible in a year. We have Bible reading guides that can help you do that. But here would be an interesting study. Study the life of Jesus and how he lived his life. How did Jesus deal with people? How did he deal with those who disagreed with him? How did he deal with his disciples, those who loved him? How did he deal with those who loved him but kind of strayed sometimes? How did Jesus handle sinners? How did Jesus deal with pain and suffering? How did Jesus deal with death? And then take and think, what would Jesus do? That would just be an interesting study, I think. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 6, it says, 1 John 2, verses 3 to 6, and by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to, listen, whoever says that he abides in him, we sang a song just a few moments ago, teach me to abide. How am I going to abide? How am I going to live with Jesus in my life and thrive? How am I going to do this? Listen, whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. What would Jesus do? That'd be a great study. Another matter of obedience would be to be faithful. I encourage you with faithful in the ministry. Be faithful in times of uncertainty. When you face times of uncertainty, times of difficulty, times of trial and struggle, don't back away from faithfulness. I would encourage you to double down on your faithfulness. Faithfulness to the Lord. Faithful to his word, faithful to the church, and walk in obedience as you know what God's word says in relationship to those things. Those aren't times to stray from that. It may be more difficult to be faithful in those times, but as you commit yourself to be faithful during those difficult times, you grow, you're strengthened. And so, commit to being faithful to the Lord, to his church, to one another. I've already talked about some measures of faithfulness to the Lord, measures of faithfulness to the church, but faithful to one another. So let me venture into spouses, be faithful to one another. When you go through difficulties, again, it's not a time to allow the difficulty to put a wedge in your relationship. But it's, as I said, double down on your faithfulness. Because when the difficulty comes, you can be assured that there's somebody or someone out there that's going to go, ooh. And the grass can often look greener on the other side of the fence. Say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to be faithful. faithful to one another, faithful to family, faithful to one another in the church. Be faithful. Be faithful to work. You're looking again into 2025. And I know some of you are retired, but those who are still working, be faithful to work. Be committed. Be there on time. Be regular. Don't just call in at a whim and take time off. Be faithful to your work. Now, again, if you're allotted a certain amount of time off, take the time off. You understand what I'm saying. But don't be lazy. Be a testimony for the Lord. Be faithful. It's a matter of obedience. Be faithful to your commitments. Students, if you join a team, be a part of the team. My dad told me that if I joined a team, I couldn't quit. And for the season, you know, I was in eighth grade and I wanted to be a football player. Dad, can I join the football team? He probably looked at me and kind of chuckled because I was about 4'11" and I weighed 83 pounds and I wanted to play fullback. He said, yeah, that's okay. You can join the team, but you can't quit. And I played. I mean, I practiced. Didn't get to play much. At the end of the team, the coach said, some of you guys might consider wrestling because you wrestle people your own size. And that's what I ended up doing. But the team knew they could count on me to be there. And I learned that from my dad, and I believe it's a biblical principle. You join, make a commitment, be faithful. Be faithful to that until your obligation or responsibility runs out. If you were listening carefully and I said be faithful, if you go back and you watch this again, I tried to put them in order of priority. All right, I actually got one mixed up. But our first priority is to the Lord. And then family. And then church. And then our work. And then all our other commitments. And then our playtime, right? Be faithful. Be faithful in your priorities there. Another suggestion to gain direction is accept personal responsibility for life issues. Accept personal responsibility for life issues. Don't count on other people. Excuse me. I think a better way to say this is don't presume upon others. Some people are dependent upon others, right? In certain seasons of life, we are dependent upon others. My encouragement is don't presume upon that. Do all that you can do to fulfill your responsibility, personal responsibility, as a child of God and a witness and testimony to others. Make wise decisions. Seek biblical truths and principles in making decisions that are before you. Seek biblical advice and direction from wise counsel. Don't be too hasty, but don't make a decision by indecision. Here's another one for the new year. Get organized and stay organized, right? That's part of personal responsibility. Be productive as opposed to being a couch potato. Now, I've enjoyed some time off the last week or so. I've enjoyed watching some TV and some movies and all. But you know, you just get to that point, it's like, man, we got to get some things done, right? And so be productive. And then look for opportunities to serve. Again, my encouragement is to accept personal responsibility for life issues. Here's another principle for thriving in uncertain times, and that is take steps of faith. Take steps of faith. Romans 1:17 says, the righteous shall live by faith. Faith is believing God's word and acting upon it. We've been talking about that really all morning. If God's word says it, then put it into practice. Go beyond your comfort zone in sharing your faith and telling others about why you believe what you believe and invite them to come to Jesus. In serving others, sometimes you have to go outside your comfort zone. I've never done that. I've never taught a class before. Are you willing to try it? Okay. I've never told anybody about my faith and witnessing. Well, get some direction on how to do that. One great way to do that is give your testimony. Tell how you came to Jesus. And when you take steps of faith, God will bless. Here's another principle, and that is, as I think ahead, I couldn't help but think, one of the seeming certainties of life is difficulties, challenges, trials. And so I thought, I want to encourage you to remember how to handle trouble. There's a little booklet that Jay Adams wrote. Jay Adams is now with the Lord, but he wrote this booklet called How to Handle Trouble. And when I counsel people, I say, memorize outline A to F on page 54. And it starts out, it says, remember, God is in the problem. Recognize that he's up to something. Believe that he's up to something good. Find out where and how he's at work, get involved in what he's doing, and expect good effects. How do you handle trouble? Recognize that God is in the problem. Believe that he's up to something good. Find out where and how he's at work, get involved in what he's doing, and expect good effects. Again, go back to point number one. God is sovereign. He's in control. And live in light of that when you face the difficulties. If you want a passage of scripture to help you with that, study Philippians chapter 1. That little booklet's based on Philippians chapter 1. Paul was writing about joy in the midst of difficulties while he was in prison. Your goal is not to get out of the trial, but to please God through the trial. 2 Corinthians 5:9 says, we make it our goal to please him, whether we're at home in the body or away from it. It means dead or alive. Your goal is to please him, to bring glory to God. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God, right? Live into the glory of God. Remember how to handle trouble. Here's a final principle. And this principle for thriving in 2025, plan for the long haul, but expect Jesus soon return. Plan for the long haul. You know, we don't know what's going to happen in 2025, 2026, and beyond. But you know what? I'm going to make plans. I'm going to keep moving forward, but I'm going to expect that Jesus can come at any moment. 1 Thessalonians 5:2, it says, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Jesus could come at any moment. He could come before I finish this sentence. Wouldn't that be wonderful? So be prepared. Be prepared for the inevitable coming of Jesus. He will come sometime. I believe it will be soon. It could be before the end of this day. Be prepared. First of all, be prepared by trusting Jesus as Savior. Scripture says that today is the day of salvation. 1 Corinthians 16:2. Today is the day of salvation. today is a great day to come to Jesus. If you're not sure of your salvation, repent. Turn away from sin, sinfulness, and turn to Jesus for his great salvation, which he provided. I spoke of that earlier. If you have questions about that, we'd love to talk to you. I'll be down front here while we're singing our last song. I'll be out in the welcome area. And you say, hey, I've got questions about my salvation. We'll have someone take you aside and pray with you, explain that to you. And this could be the day of your salvation. So be prepared by knowing that you are a child of God. And then for believers, those who do know, be prepared by putting into practice these truths. And you say, well, man, there was a lot there. Go back, listen to the message once again, hone in on one or two things and say, I'm going to do those things. I'm going to focus in on those things so that I can thrive in 2025 to the honor and glory of God. Amen? Father, help us. Thank you for your word. Thank you for these truths that grow out from your word to encourage us in the days ahead. Life is uncertain. We have no idea what's going to happen later today, let alone tomorrow or next year. But thank you that we can trust in you as certainty, in your word, which is sure and true, for your church. And Father, may we be faithful. Faithful to you, faithful to your word, faithful to the church, faithful to one another. Encourage and strengthen us now in all of these things. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.